Another hour of Advanced Living Radio. Well, this is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host once again. And what are we here to do? Have a good time making your life better. Well, that sounds like a good idea to me. Guess what? We have set an intention. I mean, we're not just going to help a little bit here, week in and week out, because I have put forth a prayer day in and day out. Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, ooh, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time and with the least intrusion into their lives so that we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Woo, that's an ambitious goal, and one week at a time, one show at a time, more value to you. Oh, yippee. This makes me thrilled and delighted, and thank you for tuning in, because we have a big, big treat for us today. Now, I don't know how many of you have faced some sort of adversity. Any of you gotten, news from the doctor that was kind of scary? Well, that's no fun. We know that. And yes, sometimes they say things like, oh, I don't know, this might not be good. Well, we have a guest today that got diagnosed with breast cancer, cervical cancer, and I mean, that's obviously, that's not good. We don't want that kind of stuff coming into our life, but the old saying about turning lemonade, making lemons into lemonade, to taking that adversity in our life and turning it into something good is absolutely the playground of our guest today. Brenda Cobb, what an amazing, amazing woman. When she received that diagnosis, instead of having surgery or chemotherapy, because that was recommended by the doctor, she ended up setting out on a journey to explore a natural way of healing and discovered raw and living foods and detoxification. I know this may not be as much fun as having surgery, but still, Brenda put herself through this. Yes, she had to eat foods and that were healthy, and she had to clean out her body. And who'd have thought, and this is what Brenda's going to help show, that 7 months later, she got over all this stuff. I mean, and it confounded the doctors. They couldn't, it was amazing. We'll have Brenda tell more of her story. But the main thing is just to invite you, tune in, take notes, learn step by step a powerful way to help overcome some of the most serious problems in your life. And Brenda is celebrating the 10th anniversary of her Living Foods Institute. Yes, in Atlanta, Georgia. And wow, is that exciting? So we are just so ready, because so many different kinds of diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, candida, arthritis, allergies, asthma, AIDS, lupus, multiple sclerosis, Bell's palsy, depression, migraines, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia. I mean, on and on and on and on and on. We'd take all hour listing just the diseases. We'd never get to hear Brenda. So I'm getting out of the way. Brenda, come on in.
All right. I love it. Kenneth, listen, your enthusiasm is amazing. It is wonderful. And, you know, the most important part of healing and living a good life is having a good attitude about it and finding that enthusiasm for being on your journey, whatever that might mean. So thank you for the service that you do in helping people to really take their power back and to help themselves to heal the body, the mind, and the spirit, and to do it in such a fun, fantastic, and exciting way. So my hat's off to you, and thank you for inviting me to be on your show today. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, well, it's a delight, as I've been looking at your book, The Living Foods Lifestyle, and learning more about what you're doing and getting a chance to, actually, when I was in San Francisco recently, see a couple of examples of people that have gone through your program. And, oh, boy, well, April and Bridget, two amazing, enthusiastic people. I'm sure we'll get into, you know, into all of that because you have many examples to share. This thing, people are starting to hear a little bit more about raw and living foods. So I don't know, was it the disease that got you started with that or the diagnosis?
It really was. You know, Kenneth, I don't believe I would have really changed my lifestyle. I was rocking along thinking that I was doing okay. In fact, had you asked me, I would have said to you, oh, I have a very healthy lifestyle. Well, in comparison to my friends, I really did. But really, in having a healthy lifestyle, you know, sometimes we think that we do when we really are not realizing that a lot of the things that we're eating are cooked, and therefore when we cook our food, it turns it into an acid. And then it also kills the living nutrients in the food, so we're eating the dead food that also is acidic. No doubt that it tastes good, and we eat more and more of it, but our body becomes depleted over time. And that's really what happened to me. In February of 1999, I was diagnosed with breast and cervical cancer, and like you said, that was, it was a shock, I'll be honest with you. I was very surprised when I got the diagnosis, and then, of course, immediately the doctor did everything he could to scare me, and he made me think that I didn't have any time to waste. He said, you know, next week we need to schedule the surgery, we need to do a mastectomy, a hysterectomy, then we're going to need to do chemotherapy and radiation. And when I said, no, stop just a minute now, I'm not going to do that. And he didn't like my decision because it didn't agree with what he wanted me to do. But the
I want to hear those magic words because you were making some mention of something. And many people go to doctors, and doctors have a lot of wonderful training. While it's limited in scope, within that scope that they are studying, they are well trained, and one of the things that that they are very good at doing is coming across with a very powerful image and very forceful, I am the God of medicine, I am the all-knowing source for your healing. And if you don't listen to me, and I learned this because I was actually in a holistic medical clinic with a doctor, and he basically told me, many doctors going through medical school, they are trained that they are the gods of healing, that they give forth that healing to people, and so they can come forth with a powerful attitude. But you had a two-letter magic word that helped to make some space between you and what the doctor wanted to do. And would you repeat that two-letter word again?
Oh, well, gosh, I don't really know. Now I'm already thinking
about all the
other
things. Oh, I just got all
that
big wind up. Okay, yeah. It starts with N and ends with O.
No way.
Yeah, like no. The dog said, let's do all this. And it's like, no. Okay.
No, that's right. I did. I was very strong about it.
Okay.
I was like, I'm not doing it. And you're absolutely right. Now, I got to tell you this, Kenneth. He said to me, what do you mean you're not going to do it? You don't have a choice. I looked at him and said, Doc, hold the horses back now. I am a 50-year-old woman. And if there's one thing that I have learned in 50 years, I've got a choice. Now, look, I understand that my choice might not be your choice. You might not agree with my choice. You might not like my choice, and you might not approve of my choice. But the good part about it is it's my choice. You know, that's what God said when he said, I'm giving you free will. And God gave me free will so I can make a choice. And he did not like it, though, Kenneth, you know, because of that mentality like you're talking about. Now, look, we love the doctors. And we're not here to try to put doctors down because doctors, they're good at diagnosing things. And, you know, if you break an arm or a leg or something, you want a good doctor to be able to set it and really help you. But when it comes to helping people heal a disease, doctors really fall short because they're not trained to help heal a disease. They're trained to treat the symptoms. And so they're trained to use the drugs to treat the symptoms, to use the surgery. If there's a tumor, let's just cut it out and be done with it, rather than getting to the source of why did that person get that tumor in the first place and changing the things that contributed to creating that tumor. Instead, that mainstream allopathic medical approach is, what drug do we have to kill it, destroy it, shrink it, bombard it? What surgery can we do just to take care of it, and then it'll be done? But here's the sad truth of that, in that in the majority of cases, you know, probably 98%, 99% or more, of people that take that approach, within 1 to 3 years, the cancer or the serious disease has come back. At least that's the way people talk about it. They'll call me and they'll say, Brenda, I had cancer 3 years ago. I did surgery. I did chemo. I did radiation. It came back. I did more of the same thing, and it's come back again. I said, you know, here's the thing. It never went anywhere. It hasn't come back because it never left. What happened was you got treated with this chemo or the radiation or the surgery, but you never really addressed, how did this happen? What did I do? Have I contributed to this? And can I change what I'm doing so that I won't recreate this same problem in my body? And that's really what I want to help people to get in touch with, and that is that the body was created by God to heal itself. It will heal itself, even from very serious situations, just like you mentioned Bridget. And, you know, Kenneth, you met Bridget and April, two beautiful young women. Bridget is in her early 20s, and she came to my center about a year and a half ago with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma that went from first stage to fourth stage very quickly. And she also had a serious blood disorder and continued to go down, down, down. And the doctors finally got to the point, they tried the chemotherapy and all of this. She continued to get worse. And then they said to her, there's nothing more we can do. And so go home to die, go to hospice to die. And that was where she was at that time. Her weight had fallen down to actually under 50 pounds when she came to the. So as you can imagine, she was really like, she would look like a little skeleton with skin, you know, over her bones.
Yeah.
And her skin was kind of a grayish, and she was jaundiced because her liver was shutting down and very gray and yellow looking and very, very weak. Well, her friend April heard about our center and told her, we're going. And Bridget did not want to go because, you know, when you're sick and you don't feel good, honestly, you just don't want people dragging you around everywhere.
No. No,
and
absolutely.
So and so when Bridget started, or April started telling Bridget, if you eat a different way, we're going to go and cleanse your body, we're going to change what you're eating, I'm going to be right in here with you. You know, Bridget's first reaction was, look, if I've only got 2 weeks to live, which is what the doctors say, I'm going out with a donut in my hand, not a piece of celery. and that really was her attitude. It was like, hey, look, if I'm going, babe, I'm going with the potato chips and the donut. And April, who loved Bridget so much, she said to her, no, you are not doing that because that is what has got you in the bad situation you're in now, because you are the junkie of all junkies when it comes to food. you know, there's more things than drugs to become a junkie or addicted to. I think probably the main addiction that most people have is the addiction to food that especially is not healthy, and that's where Bridget was. So April, as she says, basically went and picked her up one day and said, we're going on a field trip, and didn't even tell her where she was bringing her. And she brought her from Chattanooga, Tennessee, down to Atlanta, Georgia. And she went, they both together, side by side, went through the whole program. They were there with us for 10 days. And it was the most exciting experience to watch Bridget really transform right before our eyes. And when she finished that whole time with us, went back to her hometown, she set up an appointment immediately to go to the doctor. And when she went, the doctor kept her in the office all day long. And Bridget said, I was exhausted by the time I'd been there for 8 hours. And the doctor came out, and I said, look, I'm tired of just staying here all day long. You know, let's finish up. I need to go home. And the doctor said, well, something's wrong. And Bridget said, what? And she said, come in my office. I want to show you. So she showed her the x-rays. Well, before Bridget came to our center, she had the fourth stage non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and she had tumors all over her body. They were everywhere. So she was covered in a lot of tumors. And the doctor showed that scan and x-ray that they had done. And then Bridget came to the center, and 2.5 weeks later went back to the doctor, and the new set of x-rays did not show any tumors. So the doctor looked at that as something is wrong. And I thought that was interesting. Interesting way to present it. Something's wrong because, wait a minute, you know, it's hard to kind of wrap your mind around the fact that 2.5 years ago you had a patient with fourth-stage non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, multiple tumors throughout her body, and now a short time later there's none. So it is kind of it can shake you up a little bit and say, wait, what's happening? What's going on?
Yeah, boy, the doctor needed some treatment. They were going into shock.
They were. They really were, because they're not, thinking that way, you know?
No, and I mean, to me, anyone that puts all that time going to medical school, I think they just have a caring heart and a desire to help heal. It would be nice if they got the comprehensive education that went beyond what they're getting to include some of the things you're doing. And I was shocked to myself to hear, you know, here's this person, fourth stage non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, tumors. I mean, you got 20 seconds, 2 weeks to live. We'll get you some donuts. And I'm thinking 2.5 weeks. You must have met 2.5 months. It must have been 2.5 years at least. I mean, you can't just turn that thing around in a matter of days. Come on now.
Right, exactly. And that is my shock. And you know what that falls into, Kenneth? That is that miracle of healing. That's that instantaneous reprogramming and changing of the energetic vibration within that person that is able to go from a very serious disease to a state of total health. And, you know, I'd like to address that, and I'd like to talk about it, because many times, because people know the name of our institute is called Living Foods Institute, so they think I'm going to talk about how important nutrition is, and that is the most important thing for people to do, change what they eat. Well, no doubt about it that nutrition is important, because it is a foundation of what we're giving the body to be able to create energy and to heal itself and to rebuild itself and all of the things that the body has to do. So there's no doubt about that. But actually, nutrition falls several rungs down the ladder as the most important, because there are several things that work in synergy. And actually, over 10 years that I've had the center, I've had people come with every type of cancer in every type of the body, far advanced, fourth stage, metastasized in several organs, at death's door. And then I've had people come with multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's and lupus and AIDS and HIV and diabetes and depression, and obesity, and attention deficit disorder, and Alzheimer's, and on and on and on. name the disease, I think, although there may be some strange ones out there I've never heard of before, but most of the common ones, someone has come to the center looking for a way to heal. And what I have really come to realize is that when a person will do all of the components of helping themselves to heal, that the body knows exactly what to do with that information and it knows what to do with that food. So number one reason that people get sick is not because of what they eat. Number one reason is because of how they think. And we've got to help people to think in a new way, because many of us think in ways that we actually don't even realize is a negative way. We're thinking we're doing pretty good and that we're a positive thinker.
Well, all we got to do is watch TV. They tell us how to have a healthy lifestyle. All the commercials do, don't they?
They
do.
I need
more milk and snack food.
Not only the milk and the snack food, Kenneth, what about all of those drug ads? You know, we're out here telling our children, don't take drugs, don't do drugs. But when you turn the television on, you know, within an hour, you're seeing and your children are seeing all types of different advertisements for drugs. So there's drugs for allergy, and there's drugs for erectile dysfunction, and there's drugs for blood sugar and for high cholesterol, and on and on and on. So now what are we being programmed, and what are our children being programmed? Got a problem? Fix it with a drug. Got a problem? We got the drug for you. You know, something wrong with you? Call your doctor and ask if yada yada drug is right for you. Now, isn't it interesting that they don't even tell you what the drug does? But yet they'll show a glamorous picture. Maybe it's a couple, they're in love, they're running through the field of daisies, they are going to have a big picnic, and oh, there, you can just tell it's just a blissful day. And then it goes right over to, you know, whatever the drug, Claritin. Call your doctor and ask if Claritin is right for you. Well, you know, you're watching that and you're thinking to yourself, I wonder what Claritin does. Does it find me a good relationship? Do I find somebody to run through the field and the daisies and have a big picnic in the on the side of the mountain with? What is it? And then we're programmed to pick up the phone and call the doctor and say, I saw this drug on TV. Will that help me?
Yeah, am I a candidate for this, doctor?
Exactly. Now, you know, the pharmaceutical companies and the doctors and all of these people are, we'll just say politely, they're kind of in bed together. So the more, you know, the pharmaceutical companies come out with drugs, they encourage the doctors, try them on your patients. You know, there's many, many trials of drugs, too, where humans are being used as guinea pigs. You know, animals are being used, and then let's do some human studies, and they try the different drugs on people to see how do they react. Well, you know, a lot of people have reactions in the very farthest extent of the idea, which is sometimes these drugs actually cause death. And don't hear about those things. But, you know, you'll see that with a drug, there are page after page after page of would and could be side effects. But there's a multi-billion-dollar business in the sale of drugs, and so there's not going to be the motivation for people to really tell others, you know, you don't need drugs. You know, God gave us in Mother Nature food and herbs and everything naturally. That if we eat a good diet and we use what was given to us with the plants and the herbs on the earth, our body can heal of anything. But instead, again, we're being told, go over here and spend all of this money on these expensive drugs. You know, now thousands of dollars. If a person has AIDS in the U.S., they'll spend $10,000 to $15,000 on medications in a year that a person that lives over in Europe spends maybe $500 or $600 on. So,
wow.
What a privilege. And what a privilege it is. Yes. You know, and actually, really, it's the, unfortunately, the poisoning of the poisoning of America in a big way, because America is more into drugs, I think. Now, maybe there's some that are into them to a bigger extent that I'm not familiar with. But listen, there is a wonderful DVD I have got to tell you about, Kenneth. It's a
documentary.
It's a documentary. It's called Making a Killing, The Untold Story of Psychotropic Drugging. The facts are hard to believe, but fatal to ignore. The cost to society of this is staggering, not only in terms of adverse drug effects, increased hospitalization, and premature death, but people going through life in an altered state. And this is what's going on. And listen, if you want a free copy of this documentary, go to cchr.org. C as in Charlie, C as in Charlie, H as in Harry, R as in Robert, .org, and tell them that you want a free copy of the documentary Making a Killing. And that's just one example of how the drugging of America is taking place. Now, I'm not saying other people in other countries are not being drugged as well, but, you know, we've got a lot of people. I have people come to my center all the time that are on everything from, well, Paxil for something, a multi-billion dollar drug supposedly to treat depression. But they also know that Paxil and other antidepressants have caused suicide in many people.
Yeah.
Is that the answer? Somebody is feeling depressed, so we're going to give them a drug to mask what they're feeling. But instead, when people come to the center, I help them to change what they're eating and show them how various foods can actually make us feel depressed because of additives, preservatives, chemicals, colors, dyes, all of these things, pesticides, fertilizers, genetically modified food, hybridized food, because a lot of our food source now has really been changed. It's not the same as it was when your and my granddaddy and great-granddaddy was living and eating food. You know, the soil's different, and the pesticides and the herbicides and the chemicals they're grown with are different. And so we have even what I call Frankenfoods. They're the Frankenstein foods. They're genetically modified. They're not even real foods. There's something that man has done with them to genetically modify them. You know, Monsanto now has got a monopoly on seeds in that farmers can't save seeds and then go and plant those same seeds from year to year when, you know, from as far back as granddaddy and great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy was doing, they were farming and, you know, they saved their seeds from year to year, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, they did. Well, yeah. Oh, we got a good crop. Here's our seeds. We'll plant them the next time. That's now illegal, Kenneth. Now Monsanto has control on that, and our federal government is right in there, and all these laws passed now that farmers have got to buy their seeds every year. And the seeds have been genetically modified. Now, supposedly, they're telling us better, right? Better food, bigger food, more food. We can feed the starving world, right?
With
toxic genetically modified food, but in actuality, our body is not programmed to even recognize that it's food as food. It puts up a defense mechanism from everything from mucus to developing tumors in the body, which, you know, tumors are nothing more than pockets of toxins that the body has been trying to pull out of the blood and the lymphatic system and the tissues and the cells, and holding it like in a suspension somewhere in the body to keep it from circulating throughout the body and actually make the person so sick that they would die. So the body in its intelligence has gathered up all of that information and toxicity and has gathered it in an area, and that's what we know as a tumor. Now, what we find is when we can help people to, number one, we said, change their mental thinking. Number two, heal their emotional self. Number three, get rid of the negative idea about stress and learning how to take stress and use it in a positive way, remembering that it is not what happens to you in life. It is your reaction to what happens to you in life that makes the difference in your life. And the next, detox the body. Clean out all those toxins that have been building up in there year after year after year. And then the next step comes, and that's the nutrition. Put in the best food, organic food, raw food, living, sprouted food. You know, we've got our raw vegetables and fruits, nuts and seeds. And then we have our living foods, which are sprouts. And it's real important that we put a lot of sprouts in our body, because the living foods have got more enzymes, more vitamins, more minerals, more life. Because there's more life happening when something is sprouting in the very beginning at any other time during its development. That's when it's every bit of energy from the whole universe is within that little seed for it to pop forth and make a sprout. So when we put these good foods in, now we're helping the body. And then the last thing that's important to help the body heal is to clean out the worms, the parasites, the mucoid plaque, the fungus, the mold, the yeast, the candida, to cleanse that out of the body. Not only the blood and lymphatic system, but also the colon. And the synergy of doing all those things together creates an environment and a high-frequency vibration, and illness cannot live in a high-frequency vibration. So as we raise it up, we clean out what's holding it down in a low frequency, and we put the higher frequency, and we use the herbs and the essential oils that, by the way, are mentioned over 200 times in the Bible, used to anoint and heal the body. When we give the body those things and it changes the vibrational frequency, what happens? The physical body heals. When the emotional body is healed and the etheric body holding the emotions, all of that is healed, the physical body follows. That's why people can heal of four-stage metastasized cancers like Bridget did in only 10 to 12 days, because all of those things come into play. Isn't it exciting, Kenneth?
Wow. Talk about a comprehensive program. And it sounds like that when someone comes to your institute, that they are getting lots of hands-on support versus sometimes a person in a hospital. Occasionally a doctor stops in, occasionally a nurse stops in. They fell out of bed. Put them back in bed. Do people get a lot of care and attention at your place?
They really do. The entire program is hands-on. You're absolutely right about that. So from the moment that the students come in, they're actually in the kitchen. They're learning the recipes, and they're preparing them themselves. They're not watching someone do it now. They're actually physically being guided step by step, and they're doing it themselves. And, you know, Kenneth, there's nothing so empowering as the hands-on experience, because then when they leave after being with us for 10 or 12 days, they know what to do because they've been doing it every day. They don't come someplace and just kind of lay around and wait on us to bring them food. They get involved in what is the best food for me? What is the best way for me to prepare it and to eat it and to take it in? So we're loving people. We're supporting them. We're teaching them. We're helping them. We're holding their hands. We're behind them, pushing them up if we need to, sometimes holding them up if we need to. If their faith drops, we all have enough and more faith for their healing for them. So if somebody comes and they're really, you know, they've lost their hope, you know, we have so much hope and faith and belief for that person to heal that people can receive that even when they're at their darkest or their weakest time. And of course, you know, I never, ever make any type of a guarantee or a promise to a person as to what the program will do, because I always remind people, you've got to come do it and see what it will do for you. I can't tell you what it's going to do exactly for you. I can tell you what it's done for others. You met Bridget in April, and you talked to them, and they told about what it did for them, and there's thousands of testimonies from other people who are talking about what it has done for them. And
yeah, your
inspiring.
Book's got quite a few, doesn't it?
Yeah, the book has a lot of testimonies, and the website has a lot of testimonies. And that's
And that's the livingfoodsinstitute.com?
Livingfoodsinstitute.com.
Okay.
And I love the testimonies. It's great to have them. And I'm so grateful for people sharing, because everyone who has a testimony shares it willingly. They want other people to become inspired from their story. And that's great. But let's take those testimonies and let's just use them to become inspired. And then let's take charge and do it for ourselves. You know, people don't have to be sick to come to our center. They can come and learn what to do to stay healthy and to avoid illness down the road and to change the dynamic in a family. I can't tell you how many times that I've heard people say, I've got such and such a disease because it runs in my family. You know, my dad, my mom, my uncle, my aunts, whatever. Well, you know, every time we begin to say that and we believe it, we continue to create that same disease running in the family. But we are in such a quantum physics of healing now that we can actually reprogram DNA. You know, Dr. Deepak Chopra has talked for many years about the day is going to come when we're able to reprogram DNA. And when we're able to reprogram DNA, energetically reprogram it, the body then can and will heal of anything, no matter how serious that it may appear to be. Well, those times are at hand now. In fact, I've had a DNA therapist at my center now for 2 years. And as soon as this modality of healing was available and that we realized how we could use this to help people and we began to add the DNA reprogramming, that is when we saw people really begin healing one after another instantaneously. Because, you know, if you go back and read my book and my story, Kenneth, you'll see that I say that it took me 6 months. I was diagnosed in February of 99, and that it took me 6 months on this protocol, and I was completely cancer-free. But now you've got somebody like, say, Bridget, who has fourth stage, which was far more advanced than what I had, a far more serious situation with tumors throughout her body, who came and went through 10 days and went back to the doctor, and she was completely healed. So I want us to remember that if it can happen for one, it can happen for everyone. And that everything is speeded up on the planet now. Even healings are taking place faster and more in a spectacular way than ever before. So hope is what we give people, encouragement, excitement for the journey. When you come to the center, it's not a sad or depressing place. It's a happy place. It's a fun place. It's an exciting place. It's full of possibilities. And just in walking in the center, I'll have people sometimes come in that have pain because they have some type of a serious disease. And they'll walk in the center, and they'll be in there for just maybe 4 or 5 minutes. And they'll make the comment, wow, I don't have pain. My pain is gone just from walking in here. Well, you know, when that healing vibrational frequency is so high, and you're creating that on and on and on, just people walking through that energy field, people are healed. And so we want people to remind them of things they already know, that remembering that how you think, your faith, your belief, healing the emotional stuff, forgiveness, many times is at the root of illness, not having forgiven yourself or others. Maybe saying you had forgiven them, but somewhere in your heart, still that forgiveness has not happened. So there's all of those things that we want to help a person to achieve. And once that happens, then that physical body is going to heal. And it can happen, you know what? I think it can happen in less than 10 days. I've seen some very exciting things. Go on the website, Kenneth, and read the testimony from Randy Hyman. Now, Randy came to us And he had been on, he was a diabetic for 25 years, and he had been on insulin all of those years, taking anywhere from 75 to 110 units a day, and it had destroyed his kidneys. He had had to go on dialysis first, and he had to have dialysis every day. Well, then he had to have a kidney transplant. And once he had the kidney transplant, they had him on 29 pills a day. His blood pressure was high. His cholesterol was high. He was obese. And now they had said to him, Randy, you don't have long to live. Even though we've done all these things, you're on all the medications, we've given you the kidney transplant, you continue to go down, 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 and we're expecting that you probably are not going to be around but just a few more weeks. And Randy found out about our center and came, and he got on the program, and it was very amazing to watch him, because on day one, he came in taking 110 units of insulin, and in 24 hours, his blood sugar had normalized down that he was now taking 55 units. So it dropped in half in only 24 hours.
Oh, and, wow.
It, yeah, isn't that amazing? Now, in 48 hours, it had dropped by half again. So actually now it was at about 25 units of insulin a day, 48 hours. In 72 hours, he was down to 10 units of insulin a day, and that was day three. On day four, he did not need any insulin. And he tells about that story and that progress of how he watched it. And I think it actually, I think it was day five or either six that he stopped completely and he never took insulin again. He talks about his blood pressure, and I don't remember the exact number, but it's something like 198 over 98. It was a very high blood pressure. And within that 10-day period, his blood pressure came down to 168 over 62. His cholesterol dropped by 150 points. I mean, it was just so dramatic that pretty much all of us were standing back with our jaws dropped open. We were just really in amazement because he also was not able to walk. He had a cane. He kind of shuffled along. He could not see. He said, you know, I'm almost blind. And within that 10 days, he was jumping on the rebounder. At the end of the 10 days, when we had our graduation party, he decided he was going to show off. He was feeling so good. He ran around the room to show everybody he could run around the room. And, you know, it was very exciting to see him literally come from death's door. And it's real inspiring to read his testimony because it really is coming from his heart. And he became so inspiring that hundreds of people that heard his story told other people who had diabetes, and our center then just became flooded with people with diabetes. And then we saw that case after case after case, same thing that happened for Randy happened for them, with just in a short period of time. So the body is absolutely miraculous, and it can heal itself of most anything, and it can do it quickly. So I always encourage people, think of it as happening with ease, happening quickly, a total healing coming about, you know, miraculously, and hold that thought as you're changing your diet and your way of thinking and cleaning out your body. Continue to hold that positive thought that if one person can heal by a miracle, everyone can. It's the capability is there.
And one of the things that I wanted to mention, because we love the word miracle, and it's exciting. I had a miracle. It's a great day for a miracle. Sometimes people may have personal issues in terms of, do I deserve this? I haven't been a good person in some ways, or I haven't done as well as I could have, and why would God give me a miracle? And what I'd like to hear from you is the things that you're bringing forth, does a person really have to have been a good person? Is God sitting up there kind of deciding, well, you know, Bob, you're pretty sick and you've been you've been a schmo, so we're not going to really let you heal. You don't deserve it.
Not at all. I'm so glad you brought that up, Kenneth. That's not how God thinks and how God works at all. And in fact, you've really hit the nail on the head when you talk about worthiness. Many people have lack of self-worth, and they really feel or wonder if they're worthy of healing. Recently, I've been working with a woman who has lung cancer. And in talking with her, when we develop cancer in the body, now remember 10 years ago, you know, I had cancer. So when I'm pointing my finger, I'm not really even pointing the finger. I'm just kind of opening up and saying, hey, this is about me too. So, but
okay.
Cancer is coming from deep hurt and long-standing resentment, some type of a secret or a deep grief that's eating away at the self and carrying hatreds and a feeling even of what's the use. And when that cancer settles then in the lungs have its own set of emotional issues, which are depression, grief, the fear of taking in life, and not feeling worthy of living life fully. And so one of the first things we do is to help people to remember what a glorious, magnificent spiritual being that they are. We get confused between our spiritual self and our ego and our human body. So we are living in the human body. That's our spirit in living in that human body. We're living on the planet Earth. There's a lot of energetics going on the planet. There's challenges. There's stuff. There's things. You know, we'll use the nice S word, you know. Stuff happens to everybody, right? So there's the stuff that's out there, and we begin to take that on in our energetic field, along with going out and just going to the fast food restaurant, eating any old thing. It tastes good, it's quick, it's easy. So from the cheeseburgers and the French fries and the fried chicken and anything that we just decide it tastes good, let's put it in the body. So we have become disconnected from what should we eat to nourish ourselves, and we've gotten connected to do I like the way it tastes? Give me more of it. And so now people overeat, so we have this big obesity problem, and we have a big diabetes problem among children, cancer problems among children too. And, you know, they say that now that because of the poor diet and lifestyle that the children of this generation are and have been living and are facing, that there is a possibility that for the first time in a many, many, many years in history, possibly, that these young children will actually die before their parents, because so many of them are now having open-heart surgery and their own insulin and their diseases. You used to think of someone being old before they got. Now we have children under the age of 12. And many, many teenagers that have developed these diseases. And so it's things that have happened over time. And we can change all that. We can shift that energetic. We can choose to think in a new way. You know, drugs may not be going away. You know, maybe we're not going to be able to get pharmaceutical companies to stop manufacturing drugs. But we certainly can say, I'm not going to take the drugs if we want to.
Are you using that two-letter word again?
I am. That no.
Mm.
I'm just not going to do it. I really don't want, you know, I don't want to take that stuff on in my body, you know.
Ah.
I just got to stand up for myself here and let people know. I want everybody to remember that you can make your own decisions and that doctors are human beings just like you are a human being. They went to school and they got a training and they were trained in a certain way. They're not the end all be all, know everything. We're glad God put these doctors on the planet because we want them to help us when we have a broken bone or to get a diagnosis to see what is going on. And at the same time, I'd like to see the doctors open up more that we can all work together. I'd love to be able to bring a lot of doctors in and teach them about healthy eating, so that they can begin training in their offices. So when people come in, rather than just saying, hey, just take this drug for your diabetes or for your depression or for your heart disease or high cholesterol or whatever. They could say, now look, here's the real truth about nutrition. Let's get you on a really good, healthy lifestyle. Let's get you in the gym. Let's get you exercising, drinking more water. I want you active. And then come back and see me in 30 days. I'm not going to give you any drugs. Here's the prescription I'm going to get you. Fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds. Eat as much of it raw as you possibly can. Drink a lot of good, pure, filtered water, alkaline if possible. Walk every day. You know, if you can do any other type of exercise, bicycle, swimming, lifting weights, whatever. But everybody, as long as you got your legs and they're able to move, you can get out and walk. Move your body. And, you know, as we get that message back and we remind people of things, we already know all this stuff is true. I mean, it just makes common sense. But we've gotten way away from it. So as we get reminded and we get back and we start eating better and exercising more, drinking more water, thinking in a new way, what happens? We wake up one day and we say, I feel better now than I can remember feeling in the past 30, 40 years.
Wow. Is that great?
The body can change. Yeah, the body can change quickly. It's exciting.
What I like is you're taking a comprehensive approach, because so many times people will say, well, you got to change your thinking. Change your thinking, change your life. Positive thinking, the movie The Secret. And certainly you've emphasized that. What I so want to emphasize to my listeners, if I'm understanding your program correctly, because of its comprehensive nature, if someone isn't feeling well, it's not a surprise that it would be hard for them to discipline their mind to focus positive thoughts. When they come to your place or get your book and start to have a healthier lifestyle with some of these foods, instead of having to go through a bunch of therapy about why am I angry and why can't I change my thinking, could someone just by shifting their diet a little bit to following some of that, could that help ease some of that negative thinking, do you think?
I do think so, because, you know, when people feel bad, I guess we've come to kind of expect that it's not surprising that they would be depressed and be negative. They feel bad. So even if you said to somebody, hey, how you doing? And if they feel bad, I mean, they may lie and say, I'm fine. Or they may say to you, I feel terrible. And when people don't feel good, they can become irritable and short-tempered. They can be tired and restless, not sleep well, be upset, be fearful of the future, anxious, you know, and have the anxiety. So when you're eating junk and you've got additives and preservatives and chemicals and colors and dyes and sugar, and it's feeding the yeast and the fungus and the mold, and it's clogging up the cells. And when you look in the mirror and you look 10 or 20 years older than what you should at your chronological age, when you're too heavy and you've got more wrinkles than what you know really is normal, when your eyesight is failing and your hair's turned gray, And you've got problems with the teeth and the skin looks different. Now you got dark spots, age spots, liver spots, those types of things that we've come to think of that's a natural part of aging. But in actuality, this program is not only to help people heal, it will reverse aging too. So as people are on it and first they start feeling better, that changes their attitude right away. I feel better, therefore you know what? I'm going to think in a better way. And then when they see the physical changes in looking younger and having more energy and all of these things, they become delighted at that. Wow, look at my physical body. As people begin to take notice, their friends and their relatives begin saying to them, you look fantastic. I don't think I've ever seen you look so good. What are you doing? And many people who come to our center call me and they say, I'm coming because so-and-so came and she looks fantastic. And I'll laugh and I'll say, you know, she came for a disease, to heal a disease. And then the byproduct was her youthing and reversing aging and just looking better than she'd ever looked. So then my philosophy for that is this. You don't have to be sick to get on this lifestyle. You can do it, Kenneth, for pure vanity, just because you want to look better. Because I've met a lot of people that maybe just say they're not that interested in their health, They want to be healthy, but they don't want to do what it takes to really achieve it. But I don't know that I've ever met anybody that didn't want to look better.
So well, by golly, Brenda,
let's look better.
You've kind of got a broad spectrum for. Is there anyone that shouldn't come to your center? No. Should everyone? Yes.
No.
And with that, we just. I mean, I am just so ready to talk on for a lot longer. And I know the next show is going to be wondering, my gosh, we'd like our time too. We've run out of time for this, but I'm going to invite you to come back on in the near future to describe more about some of the details of your program, if you're willing.
I would love to do that. I'm excited about it. You invite me back anytime, Kenneth. I'll come every time you ask me. I'll come right on here and talk.
Okay. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, beloved listeners, Brenda, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing, for giving of your time. My listeners, thank you for opening your minds and your hearts to hearing about Brenda's wonderful work at the Living Foods Institute. So happy, happy Memorial Day weekend to everyone. We can say, dedicate Memorial Day to the passing of bad habits and to the opening of a new lifestyle, thanks to Brenda Cobb.
Oh,
Brenda,
thank you so
bless
much,
you.
Kenneth. Bless you.
You're
too.
Welcome. Tune in next week, and until then, bless you. Goodbye for now.